Well, much of all of the personal electronic things that we carry around with us, the vast majority of those are designed to keep us connected together in some way. I mean, let's just think. I mean, I'm not that old. Okay, I'm 62. I'm not that old. I'm older than some of you, not near as old as many of you, or I should say some of you. But I can remember clearly. I mean, if you drove somewhere in your car and you had a problem with your vehicle, what were you doing? You were walking someplace and hoping somebody would pull over to help you out. You couldn't pick up your phone and call. I got into my car, drove to the end of my development, turned around and came back. Why? Why? Forgot my phone. I can't live without my phone. What happens if people need to get in touch with me? As if I'm that important. That people need to get in touch with me. My point is we live a very different life due to these little machines that we carry around with us. And some of those things obviously are dangerous. Being able to stay in touch or get in touch with people that you've not been in contact with for 30, 40, 50 years can be dangerous. There are marriages that have been destroyed because some guy or some lady got in touch with an old friend, an old boyfriend, an old girlfriend. There's nothing wrong with that. Really? Sure there is. Satan will use anything he can to try to divide us. Amen. But you know, we have a word for this in the church of wanting to stay connected. We have a word for that. It's called fellowship. Now, granted, that's a bit of a churchese word. You don't hear the word fellowship a lot outside of church environments, at least not in this context. And even church words like this, even churches have tried to avoid all these things. Back in the 80s and early 90s, there was a big movement called the seeker-sensitive movement. How many were you familiar with that? You recognize that name? None of you, not many of you. Seeker-sensitive. It was led by Bill Hybels, primarily, out at Willow, what is that? Willow Grove. Big church out in Chicago area. But Bill Hybels led this movement where they were going to remove all church words. So we didn't say things like sanctified. We didn't say things like saved. The biggest problem was is they stopped using words like sin. And the whole reason for this is we didn't want to offend people that might come to our church. I mean, if you're a church person, if you grew up in church like I did, my dad was a pastor, a missionary. I mean, the doors were open, or we're standing right there at the door waiting for the janitor to open up. We were always in church. People that didn't come to church, the thinking was, if we don't use terminology that they can't understand, they'll come. You know what? It worked. People came. These churches were massive, massive churches. The problem was, is that they really weren't doing any more than just getting them in the door. Because when you remove the truth of God's word, you remove the conviction that is necessary to bring change into the heart. So fellowship was a word that wasn't being used as much anymore. But my friends, can I tell you this morning that being in fellowship is vitally important to the life of a Christian. Vitally important. Because the absence of it is something that Satan has been trying to do. And actually, he had a little success this year, didn't he? We couldn't meet for 4 months. We weren't able to come together. Now again, as I said at the first part of the service, maybe some of you were thinking, hey, this isn't so bad. I can put the guy on pause for a minute and go get some coffee. I can go get some cereal, make some pancakes. Rod would make pancakes, sausage, eggs, toast. It's embarrassing. I can do that if I'm sitting at home. But we lose what the Bible says is the most important thing about this, about coming together in a group. It's vital. It's vital not only to our growth, but it's also vital to our development as a Christian, to become mature. Get your Bibles, if you have them, and turn to the second chapter of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, second chapter. Now, most people know the second chapter of Acts because it records the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is the helper that Jesus promised that when he left, he would send someone to help, and he sent the Holy Spirit. And this is what happened there. But what I want us to look at starts in verse 42. It's called the Fellowship of Believers. At least that's what my Bible says. Here's what it says. It says they, now they're talking about they're talking about these people who received Jesus, who believed in God because of what was done during that time. This was Peter's first public sermon in the second chapter of Acts. He was a pretty good preacher. He didn't practice a lot, but he was really good. You know how I know that? 3,000 people said, okay, we need to change our lives. But here's what it says. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Verse 45, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know what this is? It's the blueprint of the first church. That's the first church that met together. And I love what it was that they were doing. And what is tragic to my heart is that that does not sound like a lot of churches that I've been in. It just doesn't. I don't see that kind of expression of joy of being together. You know, I fussed at you about not coming back. We put the 5-minute timer up there. You know what? I'm not near as upset about that as what I might try to make you think I am. That doesn't bother me at all. I would much rather have a harder time separating you and getting you to come back in than we have our fellowship time and I'm looking at all of you sitting there just like that. That would bother me. But you don't. Because I think you do understand why it's important for us to have that time together in this environment and even outside of it. But the foundation of the church was built on these 6 verses. So let me start here. What's fellowship? What does that mean? Well, Webster defines it as companionship. It's friendly association with the mutual sharing of experiences and activities and interests. We have a mutual common bond here as those that attend Remnant Life Church. What's our common bond? It's the love and the knowledge of Jesus Christ in our lives. It's what it is that He's doing. It's a desire to grow in the things of God. It's a desire to come together and to worship Him in song. It's a desire to be able to set aside the things of the world and come and focus alone on Jesus. That's the commonality of what we have here together. Now, in the original Greek language in the New Testament, the word for fellowship, and some of you may be familiar with this word, is koinonia. Koinonia. And so when you break that down again, the root of that word is the word common. And so when we come together and take communion, the base of that word is common. It's a common union that we have together that we celebrate by receiving communion together, by taking those elements. So the full meaning of that word for us as Christians is that it is something that we participate in together. Can you participate when you're not with other people? No, you can't. There is a physicality of presence that's required for you to be living in the model of that New Testament church. And I'll tell you, my friends, we need that more now today than ever before. We need it more because people don't do that naturally like we used to. Think about it. There's an Italian comedian. Shucks, I can't remember. Sebastian is his first name. Matalascania or something like that. I don't know, maybe some of you, if you've ever seen him. This guy's hilarious. First of all, he's Italian, and I love that. I love listening to Italians talk. I'm going to learn to speak Italian here at some point. That's my next goal. But he talks about the difference between how people used to react when somebody came to the door and the way people act now if someone comes to your door. You think about it. He said, when we were little, He said, when someone would come to the door, man, everybody, we'd jump up off the couch and we'd run and the kids would slide up in their socks to the door and the father would have to shoo everybody out and he'd open the door and go, oh, it's so good to see you. What are you doing? He said, oh, I was in the neighborhood. I thought I'd stop by and just say hello. What happens today? Somebody knocks on your door. People are, shh, get down, shh, stay down, turn the lights out. You're looking, who is this? It's the way we act today. It's a whole different mindset. But see, according to the scripture, that's not how we should be living. That is not what our mindset should be. You say, Pastor Dave, we're in a different culture now. I understand that. But that culture should not dictate the condition of our hearts. Does that make sense? We need to be those that know and what it means to love the people around us, and fellowship is where that starts. So look at those verses again and just see all of the ways that Paul writes about it. That Peter describes these things. Luke, I'll get it. Hang on. It was Luke that wrote that. I got this. All right. Verse 42, he talks about teaching, fellowship, eating together, and prayer. I mean, who doesn't love that? Eating together. We got that part down good here, church. God bless you. All of you that bring stuff in, thank you so much for doing it. That's wonderful. Is that the most important thing? No. But why does the Bible talk about it? Now, understand, Bible times of eating were different than they are today. If I had you come to my house, that meant that I was accepting you into my life, that I was endorsing you. That's why it was such a big deal when Jesus went home with somebody that was not who was approved by the elders, was not approved by the Pharisees. Goes home to the house of who? Nicodemus. He said, what are you eating with these guys for? Pharisees came to Jesus all the time. Why are you guys eating with publicans? Why are you eating with sinners? Why are you eating with tax collectors? See, to eat with someone in Jesus' day was very different than it was to eat with someone today. Today it's just, if you want to get something to eat. Now, I want you to know, you guys that I get together with, don't think that's what I think of you. All right, I'm not done. I love getting together with you guys. You see what I did there? I saved myself. Yeah, I might have had a problem there. Guys are going, oh yeah, sure, he wants to get together. No, I love doing that with you. But in our culture today, my point is it doesn't mean anything. In that day, it did. And it was a part ingrained into the foundation of the church to do that with one another. Verse 43, there were miracles that took place. Verse 44, they were in unity. Verse 46, they looked forward to their time together. Do you look forward to coming to church? Now, don't shake or nod your head back and forth. Nah, that's okay. I appreciate that. But you know, I don't ever want people to look at church as an obligation. You don't owe me anything. You understand what I'm saying? Because I've had people I know some of you have missed church before, and I love you for doing this, but I almost feel like you have to feel like, I got to give this guy a really good excuse of why I wasn't in church. No, you don't need to give me an excuse or a reason. You got to answer to somebody with a lot more authority than I have. Do I want you here? Absolutely. Absolutely. I would hate the idea of doing this church without any of you here. I want every one of you to be in this place. I want more people to come to this church. Is that the most important thing? No, it's not. But I want you in church. But watch this. If you come to me and say, I believe God's called me to a different church, I'm going to go, hate that. I am going to miss you, and I'm going to hug your neck. I'm going to pronounce a blessing over you, and then I want you to leave, because that's where God's called you to go. You following me on this? That's where God wants you to be. You don't come to church, this church, because Dave Dorado is the pastor. You come here because this is where God has brought you. And if he takes you somewhere else, I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to bless you, and I want you to go to where God calls you to do, for where he wants you to be. Okay? Where am I at here? Okay, so they opened their homes. That was the other thing. Remember our 8-week series that Dave and I did on servanthood? Remember that? 2 weeks, I talked about hospitality. Hospitality is more than just opening up your home. It's a frame of mind and it's a condition of the heart. But how many of you would say that you're hospitable to people? That you're welcoming? That when people look at you, they feel like that they can come to you? That you're approachable? He goes on, joy, laughter, open, honest, being purposeful. I love laughing in church. I think people ought to laugh more in church. Do you ever picture Jesus laughing? I can't wait to see that. Because let's face it, none of us do, usually. Why? Because every single picture is either him hanging on the cross or staring beatifically up into the heavens. You know, Jesus was a man with emotions. I got to think John and James were laughs around the fire from time to time. They were called the sons of thunder. I'll just leave that with you. But I got to think these guys laughed a lot. That culture was very emotional. So they did things big. They hugged, they laughed, they cried, they talked loud. Very Italian-like. Very Italian, Michael. I want to see Jesus laugh when I get to heaven, because I'm pretty sure that he watches some of us and he's laughing a lot at many of us. Probably shaking his head too, at least when he looks at me. What are you doing? Joy. I love laughter. I think it's such an important part of our lives. I've shared this with couples that I have married, telling them that laughter is a critical part of their relationship. Laughter changes the atmosphere of circumstances that may seem very intense, but when you start to laugh, it just changes it. And one thing I say to every one of them is, and you know what? It's a very wise man and woman that can laugh at themselves. Laughing at yourselves is very, very smart. It's healthy. It's good. Because it brings us out of a place of feeling so righteous and high and mighty and puts us in a place of understanding. You know what? I just really messed this up. And that's okay. But you see, in a church setting, you can do that. And I want you to feel safe in this environment. I want you to be able to be yourself. I want you to be able to fail and know that no one's going to be sitting in judgment over you, but we're going to come around and love you, pray for you, help you up again. Because that's what the church is supposed to be. And the Bible says they grew in number because he was in their midst. He was in their midst. I want to tell you three things real quick that fellowship does, and then I'm done. Here's the first thing. Fellowship builds relationships. It builds relationships. The first rule of building relationships is that it starts with you. It starts with you. And there are a lot of folks that don't get involved in relationships or other people, and their primary reason is, well, they never called me. They never called me. I'm not calling them. They don't call me. You know what? That's not the attitude of the church. The church is, I'm the one that initiates. But I initiated last time. So what? You initiate 5 times, 10 times, 50 times. It's like when the disciples asked Jesus, how many times do we forgive? Up to 7? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. I think you take that math and you put it right into that. How many times do you reach out to the people around you? Every time if you need to. Every time. Why? Because it isn't a condition of who's keeping score, it's a condition of my heart. My fellowship with Vance is important enough that if he never calls me, I still want to reach out to him. Not to prove anything, but because that is what loving one another is about. That those things don't matter. It doesn't matter who does what or when. I just want to fellowship with my brother. I want to fellowship with my sister. So let me ask you this. Do you initiate fellowship with people? Do you do that? You know, there's a really easy place to start. It's about 25 or about 5 minutes of 12 or so, or 25 of, something like that. In this church is a great place to start because every single Sunday we stop and we fellowship. I can't tell you how that came about other than we just felt from the very beginning that we wanted to do that. Just stop in the middle of the service and fellowship with each other. And that is what has become such a fundamental part of what Remnant Life Church is because I want us to love on one another at every opportunity we get. But do you do that? Or do you sit at your chair? Now, I know for a fact, I don't think any of you do that. None of you do. And that's what's so important about being a part of a church family where you know that you can approach the people around you, that you're just going to be loved, you're going to be accepted. Yeah, I may not feel good today. My eyes look tired. I don't feel like I'm put together. Now, we got good dressers in this church, so I can't say much about that, except you, Jeff. It's only because you were patting your chest when I said that and I was looking right at you. So Jeff knows I love him. So where are you in that process is what I'm asking. Is that you are asking yourself, how much do I do that? Or do I sit back? Am I shy? I'm shy. I'm a shy person. Well, you know what? Shyness is not a reason not to fellowship with each other. The fellowship is important. The being together. Amen. The loving one another. Amen. The other thing that relationships do is it helps to keep one another from sin. Because in fellowship, in relationships, you are providing accountability for one another. Let me ask you this. Do you have anybody in your life that has your permission to say anything they want to you at any time about any subject? If you don't, you need to do that. You need to have someone in your life. If you're married, that should be your spouse. Now, I'm blessed. I've got two people in my life that can do that for me. One I married. The other's been my friend since 1976. He can say anything to me. She can say anything to me. And you know what the key of that is? You can't get mad. You can't get offended immediately or at all. It's giving of yourself to say, you know what? I need this accountability to someone, because it's in that that we then have somebody say, hey, are you considering what's going on? Do you see this? Do you recognize what it is you're doing? I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I'll confess myself. There are at least, 5,000-6,000 things in my life that I would have done differently if I had just asked somebody, what do you think? What do you think? Tell me what you see. Am I doing the right thing? But what prevents that from happening? One word, come on, what is it? Pride. Pride stops that from happening, because I don't want to make myself vulnerable to the people around me. They might see something that I don't want them to see. You know what? In God's kingdom, that's exactly how you should be living. Because if someone can help me to not stumble into this, it'll keep me from falling off a cliff a little bit beyond that. Everybody stumbles, but you don't need to go over the cliff. Relationships, godly relationships, keep you from falling over the cliff. John 3:19 says this. This is the verdict. This is John writing. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. When you are willing to expose your life, you're letting light come in. We sang that this morning. Great song. One of my favorites that Dave's written. Let the sun shine in. It's the light of God being penetrating into our lives. So being with other Christians is necessary to help guard you against what it is that Satan wants to do. Now, the ultimate responsibility is yours. So don't take that and go, well, if my friend had just told me about this, I wouldn't have done that. No, no, no. You have responsibility for what you choose to do, but you need to have those people walking with you to help you to be able to see, to be able to know what it is that's going on. Here's the second thing. Because fellowship builds relationships, it also builds unity. Unity. Fellowship is not the same thing as unity. Remember, we said Jesus had multiple relationships in the midst of his ministry. He had hundreds of people that traveled with him. He had 12, he had 3, and he had 1. And see, that's the model that we take, that as we desire to build unity, we're doing things together in order to promote that. I love when we do things. We're going to be doing a lunch or something here pretty soon. Got to take advantage of that kitchen. That's a really good kitchen in there. So, well, guys, it's easy for us. But I want to do a nice luncheon here, because it's great when you can fellowship together outside of the normal circumstances of church. I love our times together. Playing the cornhole, got the music going, watching you guys eat unbelievable amounts of food. It's a blessing. I love it. See, Italian, that touches me. That's a good thing. But here's the thing about Christianity that's unique. Christianity, we are dependent on one another to help us to grow. We're dependent. A lot of the world's religions are completely opposite of that. They preach self-reliance. They preach independence. They say you need to get in touch with your inner self in order to come to that place of self-realization, self-actualization. Everything's about me, me, me. The Bible teaches us, Jesus said, you fellowship with one another. A new command that I give to you, that you love who? Not yourself. Love one another. And see, that's what makes Christianity unique and something that is just so fulfilling in our lives, because I come to the place of realizing I don't have to do this by myself. I don't have to have all of the answers. I can pick up the phone and I can call somebody. I can get together with a friend and go, hey, listen, you don't need to bury your whole soul and just throw everything on them, but you can go, hey, listen, this is a situation. What do you think? I think every single person in this room would welcome the opportunity to do that for you. And you're going to get all kinds of different opinions. Some of them are going to be great. Some of them you're going, okay, that was nice to spend time with them. I don't think I'm going to do that. But you're hearing things. It's making you think. It's bringing you to the place of saying, God, I just want to be a part of the family. And that's the way that those things happen. And you know what the result of a positive, healthy, kind interaction is? Unity. Together. I've got your back. I've got your back spiritually. I've got your back emotionally. I've got your back physically. If you need me, there, many of you have. You call me. You know that. I want you to have my back too. I'm not saying I need it more than you or that I'm more than you are in any way, but the Bible tells us that if you're going to scatter the sheep, you hit the shepherd. See, and I need your prayers. I need you praying for me. I covet those prayers. And I know that you do. I know many of you do. But that's where unity comes in. Unity builds the accountability, which brings us to the place of being able to walk in a way that brings glory and honor to Him. Here's the last one then. First one, it builds relationship. The second one, it builds unity. Third one is fellowship builds the kingdom. It builds the kingdom. The kingdom of God is much more than just Remnant Life Church. It's much more than churches in the central Pennsylvania area. The church of God is worldwide. And we are a part of that church because it's more than just about you or about me. And that's why I encourage people that we develop and maintain a kingdom attitude. A kingdom attitude. Meaning, what is it that I'm doing in my life that glorifies God and the kingdom? I don't want to do this because I know what it's going to do to people's perception of the kingdom. I'm not going to talk this way because if I do, people are going to say, so what's different about this guy than anybody else? He says he's a Christian. That hurts the kingdom. Because it's more than just about my life. There's a worldview that Christians need to embrace today. Michael's been overseas many times to Israel. And to have that opportunity to go and to see how other people live in a different nation than what happens here changes you. Every person I've ever talked to, they've always said, I don't come back the same, man. I'm different now. Missionaries that go away, even just for a brief amount of time, come back and they say, man, my life's different. But you know what the great thing about all of this is? To have a kingdom perspective of the world doesn't mean you have to go overseas. You take care of it right here. Your family, your house, your children, your grandchildren, your place of work, where you work out, the people you hang out with, wherever it is that you are, it's a kingdom attitude, a kingdom perspective. Where does that begin? It begins in fellowship. When you know that you're not alone, that the things that God has for you, you're not the one that has to carry the burden by yourself. You know, Jesus didn't even carry the cross. God had someone else carry the cross for him. And I look at what Satan wants to do in the lives of Christians, and so many times that revolves around isolation. Can I tell you this morning, that's another reason you need to be here. I have a good pastor friend of mine, dear brother. He said, there's two reasons why I'll accept somebody saying they're not going to be in church. Either they are sick or they're out of state. They're somewhere else. They can't be here. Other than that, you need to be in church. You need to be in church. Look at Genesis in this third chapter. First thing that God said after he created Adam, what did he say? It's not good for the man to be what? Alone. And see, Christians many times, we do the exact opposite thing of what we should do when life begins to come down on us. Instead of staying in church, staying around brothers and sisters that love us, that can speak words of blessing, kindness, encouragement, we isolate. We get by ourselves. I don't want to deal with anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. I can understand that. You want a day? Take a day. You want a week? No. That's not healthy. It's also not biblical. Bible says is that we bring these things to one another. Why in the world would you want to deal with what it is you're dealing with without the prayer of brothers and sisters in the Lord? Those that are on your behalf, that are taking this before the throne. You say, I don't want to talk about it. You don't have to. Just tell somebody, I'm hurting. I need your prayers right now. That's all we're talking about. You know what that is? It's a part of fellowship. So my friends, we have come through this year at a time where we couldn't fellowship for a while. And I'll tell you, I was amazed at the number of people that were watching these videos. We had one Sunday, we had over 600 people watch the sermon. Now, I'm not a math magician or anything. I don't have a big degree in math. There's not 600 in this room. We don't have 600 people that come to Remnant Life Church. So God used it. But do I want to do that instead of this? No. No. I want to see you. At least a portion of you for a while. I want to see you. And I want us to do things together. I want us to be a part of what's happening here at the church. I want you to be a part of what's happening at the church. And not just showing up on a Sunday morning. I want to give you opportunity to be more involved in things that are happening. I'll give you one right now. Easy one. All the coffee and all that stuff back there. I want every single one of you to take part in having some responsibility in that. I asked Karen and I asked Beth to head that up for me. Hospitality. You say, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. We haven't got it all worked out yet. But here's what I do know. What I told them the first time I asked them, I said, I want you to go up to people, and here's what I want you to say. Well, let me tell you what I don't want you to say. I don't want you to say, would you be willing to help? That's not the sentence I want them to use. I want them to come up to you and say, so, when am I putting you down for? You say, Pastor Dave, don't I have an option? No, I don't think you should. It's family. What do you do when someone comes to your house? Do you sit and watch TV while they take care of things and get themselves something to eat or drink? No. Your responsibility. It's our responsibility to do that for one another. So I'm forewarning you. You're going to get approached. Here's your answer. Yes, I'd love to. Thank you. Thanks. We'll do the detail stuff later. I'm not going to ask a lot of you, but it's important. Do you know what makes a visitor in your house feel more than welcome than anything else? More than anything. Ask them to dry the dishes. Help me clear the table. Vacuum my... Okay, that's probably more than I ought to ask, but I knew I took that too far. When you go into somebody's house and you're helping them do something, I mean, you feel like you're a part of the house. You're no longer a visitor. You're no longer a guest. We don't have any visitors or guests in here. As a matter of fact, I always tell people, you've heard me say this, after you've been in the first time, that's it. You're part of the family. I know I'm preaching to the choir with the vast majority of this because you folks have that kind of a heart, and I can't tell you what that means to Katarina and to me. But I want you to see, what do I need to do to go further? How do I take this to the next step for what God's calling? Because I believe we're coming into some days where the normal won't be normal anymore, even beyond what we've been living with, and it's going to have a direct impact on churches. I'll talk to you a little more about that in just a couple minutes. My friends, fellowship with one another. Reach out to each other. Don't isolate yourselves. It's not only important for your life, it's what God told us to do in the scriptures. You don't forsake that fellowship together with the Father or with each other. And it's what's going to cement this church as a foundation. We've been together for 8 years now. Can we be together another 8, 18, 28, 38, 48? It's going to depend on what we're doing right now. Laying the foundation blocks according to the Word of God. I just want to thank you and tell you how much you mean to both of us to know that you do that. Loved watches. Silver Ladies had their lunch this week. Oh my gosh, that was great. I came in just to say hello and they wrote me into praying for them. I don't know why they do that every time. It's not like I'm the pastor or something. It's so wonderful though, just to see them together. Pete always comes, wants to stay. No, you can't stay, Pete. But that's the heart of fellowship. And it's what's going to bring us to the place that when the enemy hits, when the struggles come, we've got a resource. We've got a big network to be able to rest and rely on because God's going to speak to you through them. And watch this. God's going to use you to speak to other people as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, God, for the blessing of fellowship. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. And God, I pray that these words would come into our spirits now. And God, again, just as we read, it's not about an obligation with this. It's because I want to, because I know how blessed I am. I know how blessed we are to have this fellowship together. May we never, ever close this off in any way. May every person that walks in this door feel like that they are as much a part of this family as anybody else. Because God, that is the spirit of love, your love, that we want to show to others. Thank you. Bless my brothers and sisters, I pray. We give all of these things to you in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.